70% of what we eat has the participation of bees. So they are key in food production.
When you hear the term veterinarian, what animals immediately come to mind? Chances are you will think cats, dogs, cows, or maybe sheep. How about bees? They are production animals and they also have health issues. In this episode of the Vet Podcast, we talk about an area of veterinary medicine you probably didn't even know existed.
My name is Juan Molina. I'm a veterinary surgeon and I'm specialized in bees, health issues and honey production and I work in Spain.
Are you a veterinarian dreaming about working down under in New Zealand? If so, I'd love to help you make that dream come true. Hi, I'm Julie South of VetStaff. VetStaff is New Zealand's only recruitment agency specialising in the Kiwi veterinary sector. We can help you find your dream job down under, from short-term locum assignments through to permanent employment and residency. Because we know God's own Aotearoa New Zealand like the back of our hands, we can match your career aspirations with a clinic that'll suit you best. Whether you're planning to work here for a few months or forever. If it's got anything to do with working in a vet clinic in New Zealand, we can help. vetstaff.co.nz.
You are listening to the Vet Podcast, presented by veterinarian Dr. Brian Greger from New Zealand. Join us as we discuss pet health issues from around the world.
Juan, when it was first suggested to me that I record an episode on bee vets, I'll be truthful, I didn't even know there was such a thing. When I sort of started to think about it, you know, they're production animals and they get sick. So I guess we look at bees just the same as we look at any other production animal.
Yeah, they are. It's cattle as cows or sheep or pigs. The problem is not many vets know about the biology of the insects because it's very different to treat a pig or a horse than to treat a beehive. But we are quite a few vets, at least in Spain, we are quite a few.
With the increase in importance of bee medicine, and I note that in the US, vets now have the responsibility of prescribing drugs like antibiotics for bees, is the teaching of bee medicine becoming mainstream in veterinary schools?
I don't think in the university they touch these issues enough. Back in 2019, quite a few vets who work with bees and hives, we met in Rome in one of the Apimondia symposiums. And we all agreed that veterinarians and veterinary studies should have a bit more knowledge about the bee biology and how important it is for the pollination in general and food production. Not long ago, a study made by Greenpeace came up with the data, which is very dramatic if you want, is 70% of what we eat has the participation of bees. So they are key in food production. And the economic value of pollination worldwide is over $300 million in the whole world. So it's a species that is very important worldwide.
Now, I know here in New Zealand, Juan, we've got our own species of native bees, as well as the honeybee. Worldwide, how many species of bee are actually farmed?
Not many. What we work with is the honeybee. In South America, there is a type of bee who doesn't sting. But mainly what we work with is the honeybee. But there are all other species. There are solitary bees. It's over 20,000 different species of bees. And most of them are in danger because of the climate change and everything.
So if there are so many species of wild or native bees around, what effect does the farmed honeybees have on these populations of the natural bees?
Yeah, there are studies that say honeybee in some places is pushing a bit the other species of bees because they go into a competence for the resources for nectar and pollen mainly. Nature is designed not to have a lot of the same species in just one place. So, for example, in Spain, we have huge apiaries. Well, not only in Spain, in any country who is dedicated to honey production. I believe in New Zealand, the States, in China. You can find apiaries with thousands of hives. That doesn't help nature. It's best to have small apiaries in the whole territory rather than huge apiary in just one place.
The Vet Podcast has no sponsorship, but as is the way of the world, it still costs money to produce, what with the hosting site, interviewing platforms, and software subscriptions, not to mention the recording equipment required. So if you enjoy the podcasts, why not show it in a small way and buy me a coffee? If you are so inclined, go to buymeacoffee.com/vetpodcasts or to our social media bio site. Now back to the podcast.
We discussed earlier the lack of training in a lot of vet schools for vets on treating bees. How much then of what we are taught, our conventional veterinary medicine, especially the farming stuff, is applicable to treating bees?
Not a lot. To treat a hive, we can compare to treat a pig, for example. The approach is a bit different. The individual is not a single bee, is the whole colony, because it's a super organism. And that means that you need to treat the whole colony rather than just a single animal.
I'm going to show my complete ignorance of bee medicine here, Juan. The only bee disease I actually know about is varroa, because the varroa mite has just been found in New Zealand. Is that the main disease that beekeepers are concerned about?
Beekeepers in Spain, they are quite used to deal with varroa destructor, is the parasite mite who is affecting brood and the other bees. But there is a new pathogen called Nosema, and this Nosema is causing big losses in the hives, because they start losing bees with any other signs of disease. You cannot see dead bees in the hives. You just see that they don't develop as they should.
Could you talk us through how you would go about examining a hive which has got problems?
When we receive a call from a beekeeper who wants us to have a look, first we start by looking at the entrance of the hive and see if we can see any signs of dead bees or signs of there's a virus that causes paralysis in the bees. So you can see them trying to walk around the entrance of the hive. But if we don't see any of these signs, we just start by opening the hive, check the inside of the combs, see if we can see any dead brood or bees with deformed wings, which is another virus. And then we normally take a sample of the bees and send to a laboratory. And in the laboratory, they will do a PCR and search for different diseases like viral diseases or this Nosema or any other disease.
So you've collected your samples and you've sent them off to the lab. I've got visions of the pathologist leaning over a little body of a bee doing a postmortem. The pathologist won't be doing postmortems on a bee, surely?
No, not a postmortem, but they can do histology on bees more as research than to find the cause of the disease. Normally they just go for PCR. But obviously the laboratories can do a histology to see how this parasite, this Nosema, affects the intestine of the bees and how it affects the absorption of the nutrients of what they eat, that is mainly pollen and nectar.
A real difference between conventional livestock farming and bee farming, I suppose, is that you can't put a fence around a bee like you can around a cow. So the bees are going to go where the bees are going to go. This must lead to a couple of problems. One of them would be, I would imagine, environmental contamination or chemical contamination of the end product of the honey. There has been a case or cases recently in New Zealand where the herbicide glycophosphate has been detected in Manuka honey that's been exported to Japan. And I guess the other real issue is a lot of farming systems use insecticides to control insect pests. And surely this must affect the bees as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Because when you place a an apiary in a place, bees are going to start foraging in 3 kilometers around. So it's very difficult. If you're next to crops, it's very difficult to control. I mean, not difficult, it's impossible to control. Are they going to pick up from the flowers? It's necessary to have a good relationship with the farmer who is in charge of those crops and ask them when are they going to treat, if they need to treat with fungicides or insecticides. And if they are going to do, the beekeeper should know when and which product so they can move the hives away from those crops. But it's very difficult to control all these points because, as I said, a honeybee can fly 3 kilometers away from the hive to collect any nectar or pollen. So it's very difficult. Yeah.
Modern farming practice involves a lot of monocultural farming, large areas of single species crops, which I guess means that the bees that are working that area are only working on one species of plant. So this must limit the diversity of what they're actually eating. Does this cause any problems to the bees?
Yeah, because not all the flowers has the same amino acids in the composition. So naturally they need a variety of different pollens to build their own tissues, and something really important as well, which is the type of proteins which are quite similar to antibodies. So they need a variety of pollen, which means a variety of proteins to build all those tissues. So when a hive is in a pollination service, normally they're placed in a single culture, which can be soya or could be any other plant. So a beekeeper should know that sometimes they need to supply with a protein source as already made food for them, so they can be sure that the hive won't die of starvation even with a lot of food available for them. Because if, for example, if we eat only one type of protein, probably we are missing some amino acid that we need as well to build our own proteins.
So is it normal then to supplement bees if they're in a monoculture?
Yeah, they need to supplement with a protein source, yeah.
One of the big elephants in the room, I suppose, one is climate change. I would be assuming that bees are having big problems with climate change.
Yes, it's very important. The effect of climate change in beekeeping and also in all pollinators worldwide, because it affects the biodiversity, it affects the natural landscapes. And for beekeepers, at least in our area, we're having longer and longer summer period with any rain at all. And it means that maybe one third of the year, bees doesn't have any flowers to visit and to collect nectar or pollen from. So it's a very dramatic effect, the climate change on bees.
So Juan, for the vets listening to this, we've already established that the training coming out of the vet schools for bee medicine is probably not that flash. If they are interested in pursuing treating bees, bee medicine, or if they are getting clients who are asking them questions about bee problems, and this may be more relevant, I suppose, to the guys in the United States, because I see that the FDA has changed their regulations as far as medication prescription to bees, and that has to go through vets. Who do they talk to? Where do they go for more information on bee medicine?
Well, there is a world association called Apimondia, and in this Apimondia, is a lot of scientists, biologists, veterinarians who work with honeybees, honey production, and health issues on bees. This is a world association, so it's very important. And every 2 years, if I remember correctly, there is a meeting in the last one, I think it was in Canada. Next one is going to be in Russia. So there's a number of meetings, and in between these big meetings, there are symposiums, and normally there are also for vets, for veterinarians, and they normally they touch health issues and things like that. Yes, and also in every country, I believe there must be a big associations of beekeepers, and normally there are some technical staff in those associations where they can learn a bit more from health issues and bee biology.
And to flip it around the other way, if beekeepers are having problems with the health of their bees, who do they turn to?
It depends on country. For example, I believe in New Zealand and the UK, there is this figure, the bee inspector, who is an apiarist with a lot of experience. And normally they advise in health issues to other apiarists who are starting or they don't have a lot of experience in this matter. In Spain, for example, we have the figure of ADS, which is a sanitary defense associations. And normally they are led by a vet. And in case there is any health issues, they should call the vet, and the vet should go and check the hives and see what the problem could be and also advise for a solution.
And just to finish things off, Juan, do you see vets in future becoming more involved with bee medicine and bee health?
Probably yes, because with this problem of losing a lot of hives, depending on the country, sometimes we lose between 30 and 50% of the hives yearly. And the whole society is more aware of the problem we are having with honeybees. It will call more professionals, more veterinarians to see what's going on with bees. And probably if we can help in any way the conditions of honeybees, it will help as well.
So here is the challenge to the veterinarians listening. Is this an area we should be upskilling ourselves in? We are trained in epidemiology and disease control, but as we've said, our knowledge of bee medicine and disease on the whole is pretty scratchy. In the USA, the FDA regulations now require a lot of bee medications to be prescribed by vets. How good is your knowledge?
And that's it for another episode of the Vet Podcast. All of our links are in one place at beacons.ai/vetpodcast. That is beacons.ai/vetpodcast. And while you're there, don't forget to buy us a coffee. On behalf of me, Brian Greger, and everybody else involved in the making of this podcast, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again soon.